friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. South Africa, Burkina Faso, Tunisia, and defending champion Senegal are the latest teams to qualify for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia all scored victories Tuesday, while Burkina Faso's one-all draw against host Togo was enough to see the Burkinabe through. In Group L, Senegal beat host Mozambique 1-0 in Maputo on an 18th-minute goal by Boulaye Dia. The Lions of Teranga of Senegal have the maximum 12 points from four qualifiers, so they'll be defending their title next year in Ivory Coast. In Group K, South Africa booked its ticket to Ivory Coast with a 2-1 road victory against Liberia in Monrovia. La Pasa and Mayim Bella with the goals for the South Africans, while William Jabor had Liberia's goal. South Africa has 4 points from three qualifiers. Morocco, which tops the table with 6 points from two qualifiers, had already qualified from this group for the Nations Cup. In Group J, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia qualified with a 1-0 road victory against Libya. Jawini with the goal for the Tunisians in the 16th minute. Tunisia tops this group with 10 points from four qualifiers. And in Group B, the Stallions of Burkina Faso booked their Nations Cup ticket with a 1-1 draw in Togo. Ouattara with the goal for Burkina Faso in the 12th minute, while Laba equalized for Togo in the 26th minute. Burkina Faso is through to Ivory Coast with 10 points from four qualifiers. In other Nations Cup qualifying results on Tuesday, Cape Verde scored a 1-0 road victory against Eswatini. The Blue Sharks of Cape Verde have 7 points in Group B and look likely to advance. In Group C, Namibia scored a big 2-1 victory against visiting Cameroon. Now, this match was played in Johannesburg, South Africa. The Namibians now top the group with 5 points from three qualifiers, with Cameroon next with 4 points. In Lilongwe, Egypt trounced host Malawi 4-0. Egypt and Guinea now top Group D with 9 points each, and the Sunny Side of Sports is picking both teams to advance to Ivory Coast. In Group F, the Cranes of Uganda kept their Nations Cup hopes alive with a 1-0 road victory against Tanzania. Mato with a late goal for the Ugandans, who now have 4 points from four qualifiers, the same as Tanzania. The Desert Foxes of Algeria have already booked their Nations Cup ticket in this group with the maximum 12 points. In Group G on Tuesday, Gambia defeated Mali 1-0 on a 79th-minute goal from Kali. This qualifier was played in Casablanca, Morocco. Mali leads the group with 9 points from four qualifiers. Congo, Brazzaville, and Gambia each have 6 points. And South Sudan is at the bottom of the table with 3 points. In Group H on Tuesday, Nations Cup host Ivory Coast won on the road, beating Comoros 2-0. The Elephants of Ivory Coast earned an automatic berth as the nation's cup host, but they're still playing in the qualifying competition, trying to stay sharp for the nation's cup, which they'll be hosting in January of 2024. In Group I, Mauritania and the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo played to a one-all draw. Now, this is a tight group. Gabon leads with 7 points from 4 qualifiers, followed by Sudan with 6 points. Mauritania has 5 points, and the DRC has 4 points. In Group J, Equatorial Guinea scored a 3-2 road victory against Botswana. Equatorial Guinea now has 9 points, 1 point behind Tunisia, which, as I said earlier, has officially qualified for next year's Nations Cup. Nations Cup fever! Catch it right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Loosely defined, artificial intelligence, or AI, is technology that allows computers to think and learn so that they can perform many tasks normally done by humans. Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo. Join Mark Bryan from the Future Today Institute and me for the science edition of Press Conference USA, when we'll learn about AI and how it has and will impact our daily lives. Listen for it this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Rick. The Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, recently concluded the Sahara Conference phase of its 2023 schedule in Dakar, Senegal. 4 teams, Stade Malien of Mali, AS Douanes of Senegal, Rwanda Energy Group, and ABC Fighters of Ivory Coast, qualified for the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. What was the basketball quality like during the Sahara Conference in Dakar? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the co-founder of the Giants of Africa Foundation, Godwin Owinji.
It was a big success. The standard of play is going up, basically went up from when you compare it to last year's. And the teams, you know, got really, really better. Just like the U.S. Monster team that won the whole thing last year, you know, they suffered some defeats in this region, you know, so that shows you that there is big improvement. The Ivory Coast team is very good. I believe they call, what they call, the Ivory Coast team is very good. The Mali team is very good. The Rwandan team showed serious improvement. The Nigerian team, I don't know what the Nigerian team, what kind of players they put together. But they're the only team that didn't win any game. But, you know, overall, the tournament was a success, and you can see the progression. The improvement was there, and everyone, you know, there was, the crowd was very exciting. The facility was great, and this is just going to continue to, you know, to grow. I believe 4 teams qualified. I think the Abidjan team qualified. The Senegalese team qualified, the Mali team qualified, and I think the Rwandan team qualified. So, to answer your question, in general, the quality of play, the standard of play, you know, has really gone up.
You were in Senegal for the Sahara Conference Games. Did you see talents or players that can make the NBA draft?
Yep, I went out there to scout some of the, you know, prospects out there. Mainly some of the academy, the NBA academy, young prospects that were placed on each of the teams. Some of the prospects played major minutes on their respective teams. And I think a few teams did not, you know, play these kids as much as they should have. But like I said, yeah, there are a couple of keys that I went out there to see that we already been looking at anyway, you know, as NBA prospects. So it was worth my while going out there and going to continue to follow those kids until, you know, they declare for the draft and see how it goes, you know. We actually really have our eyes on the main kid that we really have our eyes on, you know, he got hurt during the All-Star weekend in Utah. But there are other prospects at the academy also that played in the Savannah Conference Bar League that just ended. So I went out there and you know, looked at some of the players. So I'm not going to be going to the one in Egypt, the Nile Conference, but I'm definitely going to, you know, go to the final in Kigali, you know, to see some more, you know, younger prospects. Yeah, there were 8 young kids, young prospects that played in the Savannah Conference. And actually, there was one kid from Mali that is not at the academy that was really, really good, you know, that I had my eyes on. This just shows you that, you know, this is going to be a prevalent thing, you know, as the league grows, you know, in another 5, 6, 7 years from now, there's definitely going to be a lot of prospects in each of these teams that most NBA teams will be scrambling to, you know, to take a look at.
The Nile Conference of the Basketball Africa League will tip off in April. What are your expectations of the teams in the group?
I will not be going to the Bar Conference tournament, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same thing, you know. Going to be a huge improvement from last year, and because you know, teams, most of the teams, they've seen how big and how important this league is, so they tend to, you know, they do whatever they can to try to win it, so or to try to qualify to go to Rwanda Kigali. So the product they put on the floor has to be superior products with regards to last year, because everyone wants to qualify and go to Kigali and try to win the whole thing. So I'm pretty sure the talent on the floor is going to improve, just like the one in Senegal did, because the one in Senegal, you can tell a huge improvement from last year. And I believe the Nile Conference, you know, will be the same.
That's Godwin Owinji, the co-founder of the Giants of Africa Foundation. And Godwin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from New York City. Now let's go to Namibia, where the German-supported Basketball Artists School has been helping to develop the sport while giving hope to at-risk youth. Beyond basketball, the program teaches life skills and offers after-school meals. Vita Angela reports from Windhoek, Namibia.
Manny Amukoshi helps coach at-risk boys and girls at the Basketball Artists School in Namibia. But the 24-year-old didn't start out as a coach.
I've joined the program as a rookie, as a beneficiary. After graduating my BAS foundation program, I joined as a contributor to give back as a contributor at BAS.
The school, which is supported by the government and funded by mostly German donors, has for more than a decade taught basketball and life skills to youths up to 21 years old. The life skills classes are centered on challenges the youth confront, such as conflict resolution in a healthy manner, the harmful effects of alcohol and drug abuse in the community, sexual and gender-based violence, and teenage pregnancy, and how it can be avoided. Former basketball player for the University of Namibia's Tomahawks, Malakia Matias, is program's coordinator. He says they also offer morning daycare for 5-year-olds and under, which includes meals, learning, and games.
And then after that, around 12 to 1 o'clock, we prepare ourselves to take our aftercare children and also the rookies. They immediately come in, they get fed, and then from there they have a meeting, and then after that it's tutorials. After tutorials is sports, basketball training to be specific.
In Namibia, learners attend school from 7 in the morning till 1 o'clock, which makes the aftercare program very important to keep these boys and girls engaged during the afternoon. Tiffany Kwasis is a contributor to the program and gives after-school lessons to reinforce what the children learn at school. She also helps them with homework and to prepare for exams.
Remember when the plates move apart, like far away from each other, magma rises, right, and creates a new
volcano.
Okay, volcanoes can be formed.
German basketball expert Frank Albin founded the Basketball Artist School when he came to Namibia to assist Namibia's Basketball Federation with technical and skills development. The school has 5 staff and 15 volunteers, like Nelle Sophie Reinhardt from Germany.
Our rookies learn, for example, to play as a team, also to be, to always want to reach their goals. They're here to improve, and they're learning how that they have to set themselves goals, and then they can reach them. So basketball is helping them to improve also, like, just for themselves as a person, but as a team also.
Programs coordinator Matthias says if it wasn't for the Basketball Artist School, most youth in the community would not have access to basketball or the meals, support, and life skills training the school provides. Vita Angula for VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including we'll highlight Vice President Kamala Harris' week-long trip to Ghana, Tanzania, and Zambia. She's the highest-ranking Biden administration official to visit the continent as the White House strives to deepen its outreach and counter Chinese influence there. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
In African athletics, Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Azamati is hoping to get on the podium at this year's World Championships in Budapest and at the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Yawafusu Larbi had a chance to chat with Benjamin, and Yao joins us now. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Benjamin Azamati got to the Commonwealth Games with high hopes. After a great indoor year, sweeping records everywhere he turned, he did not have a great time at the Olympic Games that year. The Games, the biggest for every athlete, was too big a stage for the young athlete who had just started out and had gotten his first ever break on the world stage. But at the Commonwealth Games too, he could not deliver. It frustrated him heavily when he missed out on the 4x100 relay race, which was an event Ghana could have won a medal in. Now back in training after a long break, Azamati says he feels fresh and ready to go.
It's been good. I mean, the weather there has been really bad. I think a lot of people think Texas has good weather, but I mean, it really gets windy and then it gets really cold in here. And unfortunately for our school, we don't have any indoor facilities, so we have to, you know, do other stuff like biking and all that. But I mean, training has been good. Now the weather is becoming pretty good, so we're back on the track. And then honestly, I feel good. I mean, I think this has been the best fall that I've had in terms of how I feel towards training and everything. And then also, I'm working on my start, which has been pretty much good, because I think in the indoor New Balance Grand Prix, I don't know if you saw that with Trayvon and Noah Laos, it was really good. I was right there with them. So I think it's something that is positive, something that I think ever since I started working on it, I've been good. And so we have to move on to other things like my 200. I'm really working on my 200 now, which will also, you know, benefit me in 100. So that has been the things that I'm focusing on. And then also, you know, my mentality and everything. I know I learned quite some things in World Champs and Olympics and everything. I think it's all mental. So that is what I'm actually working on.
In his very short athletic career, Azamati has been at the World Championships, the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, the Diamond League, and is a gold winner in the 4x100 relay at the Africa Games. In this time, Azamati has not quite performed in international competitions he has been in. A lot of it largely because of his poor start to races, thereby losing steam to many of his opponents when the race gets into the dry phase. The 25-year-old says it had a lot to do with underestimating himself and over-respecting his opponents. He believes he is in the right frame of mind to trump it in future competitions.
One mistake I made was from when I transitioned into pro from college. I mean, when I was in college, these were the people that I was looking up to, people I was actually learning from and all that. So when I got to that stage, I was more of like a fan. You know, I mean, these are people you looked up to and now you're running with them. So I was kind of like, you know, still a fan, you know. And I felt like that was the mistake I made, being a fan and not being really competitive when I was on the big stage. But now everything has changed because we are all being sponsored. We all have to run to be able to, you know, get the money and all that. So my mentality has changed. When I go there, we all mean business. We all end up, we all want the money. We all want to run for our country. We all want to make our country proud. So, I mean, that has been the mentality. I think everybody's prepared, but what makes one win is how focused a person is and how, you know, mentally prepared the person is.
The World Championships are back in Budapest this year. It is a sport Azamati is eyeing closely. He wants to go there and make an impact. But first,
for the beginning, my coach and I want to, you know, run a couple of meets here in the USA to prepare me before I go to Europe to run a couple of the Diamond Leagues. And also this year, I think I'm going to be doing more of the 200s just for me to, you know, to be able to, you know, get my hands on the 200 too, because I want to double in the World Champs. And for 100 meters, I think I'm ranked 18th now. So I think we're good with that. And then running the Diamond Leagues and all would help me, you know, with my ranking. And I have no doubt I'm also going to run the qualifying mark if the need be. And so, yeah, just running the big meets to prepare me for the World Championship come August.
Being ranked 18th in the world is like extremely huge. That's like the top 20 in the world. I mean, how does that make you feel? You know, just looking back to where you started from all the way to this point, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I mean, always I want to do stuff that will inspire people back home or even the athletes that are here with me in the United States. So it feels good. It feels amazing. I mean, I was just a nobody when I was in Ghana. And now I'm able to, you know, be ranked among the top guys in the world. So it feels good. It feels amazing to me. But there are things that when I look back, it motivates me to do more. I mean, I can be at the top one day. So there are things that really motivate me. And, you know, when you get to those big cities and everything, you don't just want to compete, but you also want to win something. So I'm ranked, and that's fine, and that's inspiring. But you know, there are other things I also want to achieve, like getting a medal for my country.
In all of this, Asamati is looking to head back into the Olympic Games next year with a renewed sense of strength and a refreshed mind to blaze everyone else off the track. If Tokyo wasn't his great moment, he believes Paris will be better.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's 10, because I think Olympic is like the ultimate when it comes to track and field. So, yes, I want an Olympic medal, and I don't think any Ghanaian athlete has had that. And so to be able to do it, I think it will be really, really amazing. And then that is what I'm actually working for, aside, you know, money to feed family and everything, and also to inspire the young people. I think getting a medal for your country is something big and something huge and something that will be very, very, very inspiring for the young generation.
For Benjamin, the sky is the limit. He has made a huge impact already in athletics in Ghana. But there is nothing he would want more than to become the first ever Olympic medalist for Ghana in athletics. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azumati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
As part of Women's History Month and in conjunction with U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Ghana this week, NBA Africa hosted the first all-girls junior NBA clinic in the capital, Accra. One of the dignitaries participating in the clinic was Vice President Harris's husband, the second gentleman of the United States, Douglas Emhoff.
We know that when we lift up young girls and women in sports, we bolster their confidence, we bolster self-esteem, and we provide, sports provides courage that you'll need to take on the challenges of this world and to have that belief in yourself that you can do anything. You can do anything that you set your mind to. So I want every young girl out there to know this. We believe in you. You can do anything you want in this world. And you can get out there, whether it's on a court, whether it's on a field, and you can play the game just like anyone else. You can do it. So I want you to think about it right here. Imagine yourself as a future Olympian. Imagine yourself one day leading a team to a national championship. Or maybe you'll be a sports broadcaster. Who knows? You can do it if you set your mind to it.
That's Douglas Emhoff, the second gentleman of the United States, speaking in Ghana's capital, Accra.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I understand the second gentleman of the United States, Douglas Emhoff, also participated in drills with the girls in Accra, Ghana. And here's hoping Mr. Emhoff hit nothing but net. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that wraps up the March 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the sunny side of sports.